Testing 1, 2, 3, 4. Amen. I guess the power's on. Everybody's kind of okay. Amen. Well, I hope everybody had a good week this week. I mean, we've had some beautiful days, and so I just hope everybody had a good week, and you keep believing God for the impossible, people. Because what's impossible with man is possible with God. I'm telling you, it's possible with God. If God births something in your spirit by the Holy Spirit, all He expects us to do is have faith to believe that God will do it. It's not us to do it. Now, He may require us to do certain things, but I don't have to make that come about. God makes it come about by the Spirit that's already birthed it in us. But in the book of Matthew, now, you know, we don't want to take things for granted. We're going to be reading some two scriptures in Matthew. But I want you, you know, we're reading it from Matthew. Now, the book of Matthew was written by Matthew, okay? You know, sometimes, you know, we take things for granted, and sometimes people may not know. But the book of Matthew was written by Matthew, okay? One of the disciples, Matthew, wrote it. He penned it down under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He just didn't sit there one day and said, you don't want to write a book. That's what the world would try to make you think, that it's not inspired by God. But we know the scripture says that all words have been inspired by God and given to man so that we can live our lives according to the word of God. It's a written word that has been given unto us. And we need to treasure that word. But also the word that God has given us, we need to make sure that it is an actual translation of the true script of the transcripts that have been given unto us. You might say, well, Pastor, why are you saying that? Because there are some Bibles out there, if you want to call it Bibles, that are really not Bibles. You might say, well, what do you mean? Well, they leave out scriptures. They misquote the scriptures and they make it mean something else instead of what the Spirit of God has actually wanted it to mean. And so you got to be careful. Now, let me give you some examples. Let me give you some Bibles to stay away from. You might say, well, Pastor, I have some of these at home. Well, get rid of them because it's not worth anything to you. Number one is the Message Bible. Message Bible. Get rid of that thing. It's no good. It's no good to you. It's not good. I'm telling you. The NIV is not a good translation. It leaves off scriptures. What kind of Bible is that will leave off scriptures and put what they want? And so, and there's a few other ones, but you need, if you have any of these things, you need to get rid of those things. Get you a good King James Version that will help you to understand that word and get the true meaning of the scriptures inside of your spirit, inside of your heart and soul. You see? The true meaning of God's word is like steak and potatoes. I mean, you know, it's good for your soul, people. And so we need to get that in us, that word of God. You get that word in us. Okay. In Matthew chapter 18, look at verse 19 and 20. And it says this, talking about the power of agreement. Of agreeing together, says this. Now you have to remember, Matthew is writing these scriptures, and it's saying this. Again, I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching, or about any subject, or about anything, that shall they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Now, let's look at verse 20 first, because we'll get that one kind of out of the way, and I want to get to the one above it. It says, for where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of. Really? When two or three Christians are together anywheres, that constitutes as a church. They're coming together in His name. They're coming together in his name. They're not coming together for anything else but to come, to lift him up, to praise him, to honor. They come together, two or three. I mean, that's amazing. That he made it in such a way that even the smallest of churches are included. Because really, the average church in America, I know we hear about these great numbers all over the place. I mean, you know, multi-thousands and that, you know, and that's great, whatever. You know, there's no, you don't want to put that down at all. But the average church in America has about 100 people. That's all. About. That's about it. 100 or so people. If you go over 200, you're breaking the norm. If you go over 500, my Lord, you surely are breaking it. And so on and so forth. So God, the Holy Spirit, is such a good God that he didn't want to leave anyone out. That he said, if even two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. We often think, well, you know, as a church, we have to have the best music or the best preaching or the best of facilities. And all those things are nice. And you would like all those things if you could have it or whatever. But you know what? God didn't say any of that. So he said, just two or three are gathered in my name. Because you go to third world countries and you hear the stories of people that are meeting under trees. And heaven help them if it rains. They still just meet under a tree. Most places don't have, a lot of churches are crumbling because of the infrastructure on the inside. They're old buildings. They don't have the money to repair it. It costs so much. Carpet needs to be changed. Walls need to be, and all that stuff. But look how good God is. Two or three. That's all. Not to leave any person out. If one person gets with somebody else and they lift up the name of Jesus and they look to God, God is in their midst. So when you're anywheres and you run into brothers and sisters in the Lord, two or three, and you start talking about the Lord and you're lifting him up and you're getting excited about what God is doing in your life and what God is doing in their lives, my God, you had church. That's church. So honestly, God is having church with his people 24/7 all the time. Not just on a Sunday morning, which is important to gather together, to hear the word of God, to hear from your pastor what God has put upon him, his heart or her heart, whatever. And letting God move within the people, letting God do what he needs to do as he encourages people in their spirits and in their hearts. Because we're made of what? Spirit, soul, and body. And I often say, we always say spirit, soul, and body. Because once that spirit and soul leaves that body, it's nothing anymore. It's nothing. And so God is more concerned about your spirit as an individual. He's concerned about what's on the inside of you. Not so much what's on the outside, which that's important. But God is more concerned about the inside part of you, your heart, your soul, what's going on. And I hate to say worry, but we know that word. He doesn't worry about what's going on. He solves problems. He solves things. But he understands how we feel on the inside. And so he takes special notice about his children. He knows those things that are happening on the inside that are weighing you and I down. He knows those things. But he says, when two or three are gathered in my name, and that's the key, his name. His name. Many places are coming together this morning on a Sunday, but are they gathered in the name of Jesus? We wonder when even the church, for the most part, won't even say the name of Jesus. That's scary. then we wonder why the Spirit of God is not moving in all of these places. Because he says, when you gather because of my name. You come to worship me. You come to honor me. Not just to fulfill an obligation, which God says we need to do certain things, but to come together to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, to give him the praise and the honor that he so deserves from his people. He's calling out for a church that will call to him, that will honor him, that will strive to live for him as they keep their faith and trust in Jesus Christ and what he's done at Calvary's cross, people. He's looking to build up an army that will spread the gospel no matter what. You might think, well, oh my God, we just a small little church here in Gator. God is looking. God is looking. God will go to the byways and to the whatever places to gather his people and to get his job done. To get his job done upon the earth. We just have to be willing vessels, people, where two or three are gathered. My God. And we're more than two or three. Thank God. Praise God. But he's come. He's here. Are gathered in his name. There he is in the midst of us. I'd say he's here. He's here. His Holy Spirit is not. He's not here physically, because Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. It's the Holy Spirit that has been leashed out, which is the third part of the Godhead, that is leashed out upon the earth to draw his people unto him and to do a mighty work in their hearts and in their lives. But let's get to this other verse. Look at this. Look at verse 19 again. It says, again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. You should have shouted right there. This is a promise. This is a promise that God has given to you. This is a promise that is only reserved for God's children. This is a promise that has been instituted and given to the church of the living God. This is yours. This is mine. Thank God Matthew pinned it down when he said this. If again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. He's saying, look, any two, if they come to me asking anything, I'll give it to them. I mean, that's a bold statement. I mean, that's really bold. And that takes faith for us to believe it. But he's saying, if two shall come together, two believers that stand in agreement about a certain thing, it shall be given unto them. He didn't say, if you do this, or if you do that. He's saying, two shall agree. I mean, that's the bare minimum. He's not leaving anyone out. The devil has tried to hide this scripture of believing God for the impossible from God's people. Now, you might say, well, you know, Pastor, well, that means that I can, you know, get with whatever believer and we can pray, Lord, give me a brand new vehicle or a brand new home. And you know, there's nothing wrong with these things. But you see, we have to agree together in touching the things that God puts upon our hearts to believe him for. That means I have to be in agreement with the Spirit of God that's in me. My Father which is in heaven, and my Lord that's seated next to the Father. That the things that they are putting upon my heart, that I can agree together with someone, and it shall come to pass. You can have it. You might say, well, what are some of the things that God will put upon our hearts and lives? Well, we know this. God wants our families to be saved, huh? That's definitely. Definitely. He doesn't want anyone in our families or anyone we know to perish and go to a place that is not good, hell. And so we know as we pray and as we agree together, it says any two, that it shall be done. Not maybe so. If I give enough money in the offering, or if I go to church, you know, or if I read my Bible. No. It just says, take this promise and believe it, and it shall be done unto us. No matter what. We know God wants everyone in our families to be saved. We know that. And there's other specific things in our hearts and lives that God has put in each and every one of us that we know without a shadow of a doubt God wants it to happen. We know without a shadow of a doubt that God wants it to happen. Get somebody to agree with you. Not Joe Blow down the road. Not an unbeliever. You get somebody that's a believer that will stand with you. And you pray it into being, because it has to come about when the Spirit of God puts it in our spirits and we agree with him, it will come about. No matter what. No matter what. We say, well, you know, I prayed before and it didn't happen. It doesn't matter. That's the past. I don't know why. Some things I prayed for didn't happen. But all I know is this: God knows what is best. And it doesn't matter if he answered it or not. He knows what's best. We got to get in the agreement with the scriptures. And when we follow the scriptures and what it says, and we agree together as touching anything, it shall be done. Let me tell you, no demon in hell can stand with you or against you. When you're agreeing with someone and the Father is there with you, he may try to bring discouragement. He may try to bring sickness. He may try to bring health issues. He may try to do whatever he may try to do. But still the Father is in control and he will do what needs to be done. We need to get a hold of this scripture and believe it and stand upon it. Get somebody to pray with you. You might say, well, there's no one. Well, then you agree with Jesus. And you say, Jesus, you and I are agreeing together. And we know the third person of the Godhead will bring it about because the Father has commissioned it to be done. Now, the Father has commissioned you to have a new house. Praise God. You agree with him and you believe it and you stand upon it. We know God wants to bring healing to our souls, our spirits, and our bodies. We know that. God wants healing in our bodies. We know that because it says in the scripture that he bore upon his body the sickness of the world. So God wants to heal our bodies. You might say, well, Pastor, I've been praying and nothing's happened. That's okay. You keep praying. You keep believing. You keep seeking God. And you get somebody that'll stand with you. Because you see, God knows we need people to stand with us. It says two. You know why? When we get discouraged, we need that other person to come and lift us up and help us. Because in the battle, sometimes things get a little rough. As we're seeking God, praying, and we're doing all that God wants us to do, sometimes things get a little rough and we need somebody to come and just say, hey, pastor or brother or sister, you can make it. You can make it. You can make it. You can make it. It says that one thing about Abraham, that he what? Believed God. It was accounted unto him that he believed God. He believed God. We need to believe God with everything within us. And you see, this is the deal, people. We need to spend time with God so God can drop those things in our spirits that we need. So he can drop those things in our spirit, or he gives him opportunity to do it. See, if we're running around and not spending a little bit of time with him, God can't take that opportunity by the Holy Spirit to do it. And we need God's Holy Spirit, people. We need God to move like he's never moved before. Where, you know, it talks about in the latter days. It says in the latter days that he would pour out his spirit upon all flesh. We need an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We need an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Without an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the church will not last. I'm not talking about the physical. I'm not talking about just the whole body of Christ. Without the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the church will not last. Without the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, things will get worse and worse for the believer. Instead of better and better. And we know what it says in Scripture about the last days, you know, perilous times will come and all kinds of stuff. And we know the Scriptures. We know that. But God says in the last days that he would pour out his spirit. And people, we want our sons and our daughters to prophesy. We want the Spirit of God to move within our hearts and in our lives. People, he'll only do that if we humble ourselves before him. He'll only do it if we humble ourselves before him and ask him to move. It says, seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened. Ask and you shall receive. All those things can only be done as we do these things, as we seek him, as we honor him, as we ask him for those things. We need an outpouring of the Holy Ghost, people. We need it. And I need you to seek God on behalf of this church, people, that the Spirit of God can move at will. I want this church to be ready for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit physically and spiritually. We need God to show us things. We need God to lead us in the right direction. I need you to stand in that gap and to believe God for miraculous things. Not to lift up this place or any of us, but to lift up God. We need you. We need you to intercede. We need you to pray. We need you to seek God on our behalf, that God can move at will. And his will be done in this place and in this hour. Because you see, the time is short, people. We know it says that the time is short. We've been hearing it for so long that the church has gotten weary of it. It's the truth. And they're even saying to us, when is he coming? You said he was coming. When? He's coming. Just as he said the flood would come, and it came. And he's coming. And so we need to be ready. We need to be ready for souls, people. Souls are in the balance. We need to come against those things that are holding them in bondage, and asking God to move like never before. We need the Spirit of God. Just as on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, it says that they were in one accord, 120. They started out with more than 120. But they got weary, some of them, and left and said, nothing's going to happen. But all, lo and behold, one day. Lo and behold, people, one day, as those 120, praise God, you need a shout now. They were in that house, that upper room, and all of a sudden, it says the Spirit of God came down from heaven. It didn't come from an organization down the road either. It didn't come from the Pharisees and the Sadducees down the road. It came from the Spirit of the living God that flooded that place. And it says that the Spirit of God came upon them and they started to speak, oh my God, they started to speak in unknown tongues. Which the church is so leery about now. Oh no, nobody's speaking tongues in church. Oh no. We're going to scare off people. No, I don't. Look, we are a Spirit-filled church. We will speak in tongues. And there's different levels of speaking in tongues, if you want to put it that way. And there are certain things that need to happen. But let me tell you, as your prayer language, pray in tongues. Man, walk through that door praying in tongues. Because you see, you're praying the perfect will of the Father upon your heart, upon your life, upon your family, upon your church. And the Spirit of God came upon them as cloven tongues of fire, and they started to speak in tongues. My God, the Spirit of God, man, they were drunk. Well, they said they were drunk because the other one said they were drunk, like they had been drinking at 9 o'clock in the morning. And they said they're not drunk like you suppose, but they're drunk in the Spirit. We need a little bit more drunkenness in the Spirit in the church, people. We need it. We need a little more. We need drunkenness in the church, in the body of Christ. Well, we walk around, we're going to pray in tongues. We pray in tongues. Pray in tongues. Now, you know, don't go to the store and start speaking in tongues a little loud. No. You don't do that. You be respective. But let me tell you, you can pray in tongues in here. You can pray it under your lips and underneath. And you're praying the perfect will of God. But I want you to know, when you walk in this place, you can pray in tongues. I don't care who's here. I don't care if the president's sitting in the back or in the front. I don't care who it is. We're going to pray in tongues and let God move like He wants to move, people. We are a Pentecostal church. Not the Pentecostal religion. The Pentecostal church, like in Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 10. Where words come forth, the power of God. Where people are healed. Where people are saved. Where people are filled with the Holy Ghost. Where two or three shall gather in His name. And the power of God moves in that place. Where two of us can agree together and believe for a miracle. Believe that God can move, people. Take that scripture. Take that scripture. Again, I say to you that if two shall agree upon the earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. It's of the Father. It's of the Father, people. We need the Spirit of the Lord, people. This week, pray for the church. Pray for your pastors. Asking God to give us what we need to do the will of the Father. Just about every day, I lift you up before the throne, asking God to move. I know specific things that I pray about for y'all. But if I don't know, I just pray generally, asking God to move. Asking God to move, to show Himself unto us. To show Himself unto us. God is ready to open these doors and drag in people. And you know how He's going to drag them in? On a tug and a prayer. And we need to breathe the prayer and the tugging. As we bombard heaven with people saying, Father, move upon them. Draw them to church, Lord. Don't let them be satisfied on a Sunday sitting home. Don't let them be satisfied doing nothing, Lord. Bring them into church. And Lord God, help this church to be ready to let the Spirit of God move and touch people. You know, it says in Scripture, as people are praying in tongues in a church, that it's a sign to the unbeliever. It's a sign to them who God is. If you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, you need to let God fill you. Get with Him. You might say, well, does somebody have to lay hands on me? Nobody laid hands on me. I just said, Lord, I want it. And it just started coming out. I said, Father, you have to be saved, though. You got to be born again. That's the only requirement. Then you say, Lord, I desire the Holy Spirit to speak in tongues, and I want my own prayer language, Lord. And when you say that, the Spirit of God starts to move. And He's saying, I'm going to give it to Him. And you keep seeking Him till you get it. Don't let go. Don't let go. So just say, well, you know, Pastor prayed for me once and I didn't get it. Well, it must not be for me. Look, speaking in tongues, the Holy Spirit, as far as that aspect of it, it's for every believer. Every believer. Every believer. Doesn't matter how old you are. Doesn't matter how young you are. It's for every believer. Let me tell you, it's Satan that does not want you to have your power. Because you see, it's the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit was poured out on in Acts chapter 2, it says that power came upon them. My God. And from that time forward, those disciples went out of that place. And they started preaching the gospel with power and authority. With power, because it was the Holy Spirit backing it up, and with authority. That means they took their rightful place in the position of God, and the anointing and the presence of God was upon them. And it says that the church grew astronomically, when 5,000 and 10,000 of people were added to the church daily, because some of the disciples just started preaching the true gospel and preaching without compromising the word of God and preaching under the unction. That means the anointing, the unction of the Holy Ghost. The power of God started to move within the people. That's what He wants to do. He wants to move within us. And so that He could be exalted in our lives, and God can change us and make us into what He desires and wants us to be. He does not want you and I to live defeated lives. Say amen. Amen. And so be it. That's what amen means. He does not want us to live defeated lives. He wants us to be victorious in every aspect of our lives, walking around with the power and the presence of God. Man, look, when Peter, full of the Spirit of God, and I know Paul had to correct him on a few things, but that's okay. We all need to be corrected. Oh. Peter, full of the Spirit of God, got filled with the Holy Ghost. My God was moving in him. He started walking. And all these people said, just his shadow. Peter didn't get all crazy and say, follow me. I'm anointed by God. Look, let my shadow get over you, then you'll be healed. No, he didn't have that kind of problem in his life of arrogance and pride. He just walked down the street and they said, even his shadow will heal us. Probably, honestly, he didn't even realize it at first. He was just walking in the shadow. God made the sun shine where it needed to shine. And he made Peter walk where he needed to walk. And he made those people lay down where they needed to be laying down. So that as he walked, the Spirit of God would come upon them. Because His shadow, God chose to do it that way for him. My God, God can choose things however he wants to do it. But that was the anointing and the presence of God upon him. People, we need the presence of God. We need the anointing of God. As Peter walked, that shadow went over those people. And look, they got healed. How great is our God? How great is your God, people? How great is your God? The devil's going to want us to think, well, God can't do anything. It's over and done with. It might be over and done with down with the church down the road, but it's not over and done here, people. We want to see God move. We want people's lives changed. We want people's bodies healed. We want the Spirit of God to move within people's lives. That as they're talking with people, the people start crying because they're under the conviction of the Holy Ghost and the power of God is moving. My God. Azusa Street Revival brought in revival in our land. People, we need another Azusa Street Revival. You might say, what's Azusa Street? That's where the power of God fell upon a congregation of a man they thought could hardly preach or do anything, but God used him. God didn't look at the color. God didn't look at the circumstances. God didn't look at their building. My God, if you know their building, reading books upon it, it was, well, that was long ago, but it was bad. Sitting on carts, the crates, those crates, sitting on hay. I mean, it was just horrible. Hardly any heat, no air conditioning. Horrible. But they said, man, the power of God fell upon that place. And look, they could see the power of God over that building. They saw it. People saw it. People came from miles around, hundreds of miles around, just to get close to God. People, we're living in a place where people want God. What are we going to give them? It takes us. Come on now. Follow. Let's bombard heaven with God moving. Let's bombard heaven and saying, Father, it's going to happen. Let's bombard heaven and saying, Lord, you see what's going on. Father, we want change. We need change. We got change 8 years ago, and wasn't a good change either. It's not good. We need some change. We need the Spirit of God in this place. We need the Spirit of God in our country. We need the Spirit of God in our lives. We need God like never before. And I'm not talking about a religious God. I'm talking about a God of holiness, of power, of strength, ability that can do anything. That's the kind of God we follow. My God. Azusa Street Revival changed the nation of America. Changed America. Most of the Pentecostal churches basically came out of that. Came out of that. From what the power of God did. You know, most churches, give me some Kleenex, please. Oh, I forgot they had some running. You know, most of the churches, this is not a good state for the churches. Most Pentecostal churches, and I'm talking about Pentecostal, not religion, not that UPC stuff, oh my God. Pentecostal churches, less than 50% of the people speak in tongues. And we wonder why there's such a mess in the church, because God is not there anymore like he wants to be. We gotta get on the stick, people, and saying, Father, I'm not worried about all the things that are affecting me, but Father, what is your agenda? What do you want? You retired people. Whoever's retired, I don't know. I forgot your lady was retired. Get a hold of God in the morning. For me. And for this church. You working people, get a hold of God. At noontime, at night. For me. and for this church. Okay? You children, get a hold of God for your pastor. You might say, well, I can't. Say, Father, help my pastor, his family. Help the church as a whole. And look, your children can be filled with the Holy Spirit too. They need to be. They need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Speak it in tongues. Pray over them. Make sure they've been born again though. That's number one. But we need another Azusa Street revival, people, like never before. And when that happens, let me tell you, that will change everything in our country. Because when the heart changes, sin is eradicated from people's lives. Not that we're perfect, but the Spirit of God is there. We need God. Agree together. Get with someone. Married couples, get together and pray. Get your list of things. Pray for your pastors. Put us on your list. Everybody's okay with that? Number one. I just paid her $5. No. No. That's, y'all know that's my cousin, huh? That's my cousin. And this is her daughter, and that's my cousin, too. So we're so glad to have them. So glad to have them. But we need the Spirit of God in our churches, people. We need it. Get a hold of God. Why can't a few of you get together with other people during the week and pray and seek God? Why not? Asking God to move. Let's read that scripture again. It says, again, I say to you, and we'll close here, and get that song ready, How Great Is Our God. Again, I say to you that if two of you shall agree on the earth as touching some things, anything, that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father, which is in heaven. And where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Let's lift up our hands as you stand if you want to. Amen. You can go ahead. Oh, thank you.